This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 22nd. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear about the 17-year cicadas emerging from the ground. And AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser has the forecast. But first, a look at today's news. Record prices at the gas pump in Indiana have not changed Governor Mitch Daniels' mind about the possibility of suspending the state's sales tax on gasoline. Daniels has consistently rejected calls to suspend the tax when prices spike, and he said yesterday he still opposes the idea. He said that right now it would not be an effective or responsible thing to do, partially because he was still trying to restore the fiscal strength of state government. But Daniels also said he would never say never to suspending the tax, which would save motorists about 16 cents if the price per gallon was $3. The AAA Hoosier Motor Club reported that the average Indiana price yesterday for a gallon of regular unleaded reached $3.348. Last week, residents of the King Park neighborhood sent the Urbana City Council in a petition asking them to close a city-owned mini-park that they blame for gatherings of young men that led to a recent shooting. At last night's council meeting, three of the young men who gather at the mini-park spoke for themselves. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
One of those who addressed the council was 20-year-old Robert Moore, who was wounded in the May 9th shooting, for which Tony Mann of Champaign has been arrested and charged. But Moore said the gatherings at the mini park at Goodwin and Beslin, nicknamed The Corner, wasn't the problem.
When we hang out there, we just be like to have fun just like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? We just kick it on the corner. You know what I'm saying? We don't try to bring no problems to the corner.
Still, Moore and the other two who spoke agreed with the neighborhood petitioners that their area needs a community center where young people can find recreation and job training. It's an idea that several Urbana council members say they're interested in reviving, including Alderman Charlie Smythe.
Community center up there, we've been talking about it for 20 years. That's long enough. Okay, so there's clearly a need.
City funds were set aside for a community center in the King Park neighborhood a few years ago, but never spent. Urbana officials say questions about how the center would be run were never resolved. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
An apartment complex in South Champaign is becoming the property of the University of Illinois. Its Board of Trustees last week approved the purchase of Ashton Woods for just over $8.6 million. The U of I is also responsible for some maintenance, including three roof replacements. Associate Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs Gene Barton says the complex is part of an expanding area in the university's south campus.
South of the Ashton Woods property, there are two houses. That property is already owned by the university. North of that property begins to be our research park. So this was a piece that was kind of sitting in a center that we needed to make a move on at this point.
Barton says the U of I will continue to use the same management company at the complex for about 12 months. Then the U of I's director of housing will play a larger role in operations. He says at least half the residents of Ashton Woods are students, so it's a natural fit for the university. Barton says it will be at least 10 years before the U of I would consider using the land for another purpose. Indiana University trustees voted yesterday to raise tuition and fees for in-state students by 5% in each of the next 2 years. IU spokesman Larry McIntyre says the plan also includes a 9% increase this year and an 11% increase next year for out-of-state students attending classes at the Bloomington campus. Under the new rate structure, most full-time in-state undergraduates attending classes at the school's Bloomington campus will pay $7,837 in tuition and fees this fall. That amounts to a $376 increase. Public institutions statewide have voted to raise undergraduate tuition for most in-state students by 4% to 6% each of the next 2 years. Illinois government could focus more on locating offices in downtown Springfield. Legislation urging the state to consider the downtown and other historic areas when looking for office space is on its way to the governor. While it is only a recommendation, Springfield Senator Larry Bomke says it would reverse a trend.
There's been a constant trend to move out from downtown, like the city of Springfield, but this would simply encourage state facilities, wherever there's a lease is up, that they consider moving to a more central downtown area.
While it would apply to any city Springfield could benefit the most, the move comes at the same time many are encouraging the demolition of the Stratton office building next to the Capitol. Bomke says if that occurred, he would like to see a smaller building in its place and the state leasing available space through downtown and in historic neighborhoods. Illinois turkey hunters bag fewer birds this spring than they did during last year's spring hunting season. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources says about 14,800 turkeys were harvested in the spring turkey season. That's down from last year's record spring season when hunters nabbed more than 16,000. Paul Sheldon of the DNR's Forest Wildlife Program says spring weather conditions probably contributed to delayed nesting, resulting in tougher hunting conditions. But he says the state's turkey flock remains in excellent condition. The top counties for the spring turkey hunting season were Joe Davies with 542 birds and Pike with 528, followed by Adams, Macoupin, and Fulton. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. You've probably heard that 17-year cicadas are now emerging from the ground. If history's any guide, their numbers and noisy love buzz will test our patience. But they won't just fill our parks or driveways. Until they disappear, they'll fill the news, and reporters will enlist biologists to explain what it all means. Shauna Lee tells the story of how he looked but could not find one of Chicago's foremost cicada experts.
As a reporter, you're always hunting for just the right person to explain what you can't explain yourself. So to begin my cicada story, I looked through clips from 1990. That's the last time our cicadas came out. University of Chicago expert Monty Lloyd was all over the papers and TV that spring, so I thought I'd check with university PR guy John Easton to land an interview with Lloyd.
We've had a number of calls from reporters who are interested in cicadas. He had quite a reputation.
Professor Monty Lloyd died in 2000, between the last emergence and this one. Easton arranged Monty's interviews in 1990, and he recalls Monty giving quite a performance on local channel 32.
They were going to trip him up. They had captured a couple cicadas and said, you know, could he tell them exactly how old they were just by looking at them? And they showed him a few, and he said, I can tell you exactly how old they are. They're 17 years old. And for some reason, that surprised the reporter.
Turns out, our cicada emergence was a national story in 1990. Here's Lloyd on NBC's Evening News.
They're little machines. They're programmed to do the things they do. I don't think they do very much learning of any kind. They're pretty stupid.
Of course, that's an opinion about cicadas' intellect. The NBC reporter was more interested in how they tasted.
And if you want to eat some, you shouldn't eat them in the shell. People have been doing that. That's silly. Wait till they come out of the shell and they're white and soft. That's when they're edible.
Reporters recycle the same cicada questions every 17 years. Questions like, will they kill the trees? Well, only the youngest trees, so cover them up. Do they bite? No. And can I eat them? Again, yes.
As far as redoing or repeating the information about periodical cicadas, I never get tired about doing that, and I know Monty didn't either.
Biology professor Gene Kritzky met Monty Lloyd in 1976. Kritzky now teaches at Cincinnati's College of Mount St. Joseph. Monty Lloyd tackled scientific puzzles, but he relished popular potboiler questions, too. People who knew Monty well say it's little wonder he talked about cicadas outside the university.
Yeah, I mean, he was just explaining his life. He didn't have to script it. It was like, you know, what did you do yesterday for dinner?
This is Monty's son, Dylan. He and his brother went out during cicada field trips in the Midwest and beyond. Dylan says Monty really shined when he met curious locals and media. There were always myths and fears to dispel. Dylan recalls a Kentucky farmer who'd never heard of cicadas.
And I guess he had some kind of instinctual insect fear where these bugs were crawling on his tractor. He just gave up the tractor, didn't plow his field, went inside, wouldn't talk to anybody until the emergence was over. And, you know, people have that reaction to bugs sometimes.
Did you?
No, because my dad was the kind of person who would pick up any bug, turn it around in his hand, and crush the end of it to see if it had some kind of fungal infection or see what the way it was built or, you know, maybe even taste it.
Monty Lloyd developed ways to track changes in large insect populations, but his sons helped Monty and his students with grunt work. Dylan would draw measuring tape in large squares and count cicada after cicada after cicada.
I'm fascinated by it, but I don't quite see doing it as a living. It takes a lot of real concentration on minutiae. But they had it, And they were just, I mean, the contagious enthusiasm about the littlest things that were going on with these little bugs, you know, and just to be around them was a joy, you know, even if you didn't know population genetics.
But Gene Kritsky says the public shares that curiosity about this bug with a weird life cycle. He calls them natural time capsules. In 1987, Kritsky got a call from a Cincinnati woman.
In 1936, she and her brother were playing in the yard, and a cicada landed on his nose, and she decided to get it off his nose with a baseball bat and broke his nose. 17 years later, she's married, and she has a daughter of her own, and she's taking her daughter out and showing her the cicadas. And, of course, that was 1953. In 1970, her daughter is married and has a child. So the granddaughter is now being shown cicadas. And so in 1987, she was looking forward to reliving all these stories again.
That's human life measured in cicada time. But cicada time can work against science. Monty Lloyd wanted to know what happens when different cicada groups or broods mingle. Some broods reappear every 17 years. Others come back every 13 years. The question was, would they get out of sync?
They went out and collected brood 3 cicadas and brood 23 cicadas and put them in cages together and watched the two species mate and got the females to lay their eggs in the trees and then waited and forgot to go back 13 or 17 years later to check to see what happened.
He may have forgotten to do that, but he did finish a 600-page book on periodical cicadas just before he died. It has yet to be published. Monty Lloyd got his first taste of cicada science in the Chicago area in 1956. That work continued 36 years. Monty Lloyd saw 3 cicada emergences in our area. This would have been his 4th. I'm Sean Aldi.
Now meteorologist Ed Kieser has the forecast.
For Illinois and Indiana, today mostly sunny, highs 83 to 88. Tonight clear to partly cloudy, lows from 57 in eastern Indiana to 64 in west central Illinois. Tomorrow in western Illinois, partly sunny with a chance of a few scattered showers and thunderstorms during the afternoon. Elsewhere in the two states tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. High temperatures tomorrow ranging from around 80 in northwestern Illinois to around 90 in northeastern Indiana. Most areas will be in the upper 80s tomorrow. The Champaign-Urbana forecast, today mostly sunny, high 88, wind from the south 10 to 20 miles per hour tonight, partly cloudy, low 61, wind from the south to southeast at 8 to 16 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, high 88, wind from the south at 12 to 24 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, low 63. Thursday, intervals of clouds and sunshine, a chance of a passing shower or thunderstorm, the high 84. Thursday night, mostly cloudy. Some showers and thunderstorms likely, and that appears right now to be our next best chance of rain. The low Thursday night, 56. Friday, mostly cloudy. Some lingering showers during the morning and partly sunny during the afternoon. The high 78. So a little bit cooler Friday behind that weak cool front. And then we start to warm up again over the weekend. And again, by the time we get to Sunday, we will have more showers and thunderstorms in the area the way it looks right now.
This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 22nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wyol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.